Good morning. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. In our text this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 39, and then we're going to be going down to verse 56. And just to give us some context, this is right after Mary's just received news that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And so we'll pick up in our reading in verse 39. It says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come to Sunday school this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year, and Lord, just to think back of all the things that you've done for us throughout this year, and Lord, to think of a time so many years ago when you came to be born for us, Lord, to die for us. Thank you so much that, Lord, you've given us the opportunity to receive you into our hearts, that you could be our Savior. Lord, we thank you so much for that. Thank you for what that means to me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would now work in our time together, Lord, open our hearts. And Lord, help us to go away from this encouraged and more willing to serve you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever had siblings or friends, especially growing up, you probably know what it's like to argue and to get upset at each other. I was going to say, if you're married, you might know what that's like, but I didn't want to start us off on the wrong foot. Now that I have, though, if you've ever had a sibling or a friend, you know you get into arguments. That's just kind of a given, especially when you're younger. And you get together, neighborhood kids or a sibling, and you go to play a game. You can't agree on what game to play, or then you can't agree on the rules. Somebody's cheating. It's just a mess. And you're left, you know, yelling, screaming at each other, you know, just making a fool of yourself. Well, one person eventually begins to lose the argument, and he or she doesn't like that. Maybe that was you. And so there's one last resort. There's one more thing you can do. So you go into the house and say, Mom, he or she, so-and-so, is being mean. They're not playing fair. And you try to get some kind of sympathy. If Mom's on your side, then you win. But then you get that age-old response. It takes two to argue. That's so sympathetic, right? And then you're like, well, yeah, that makes sense. How do you even answer that? I mean, there's no good answer to that. That's why they still use it. But anyhow, it does take two to argue, and two people can very quickly tear each other down. But yet, two people can strengthen each other and encourage each other in the Lord. And this morning, we go to our lesson, and we look at the lives of two of the most really influential women in the New Testament. And that's Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, who was going to be the mother of John the Baptist. And here we see in this text, they were both given miracles. They were given the privilege to do something that maybe they never thought would happen. Certainly, Mary never thought that she would give birth to the Messiah, and Elizabeth, at this point, never thought that she would have a child. But yet, God worked a miracle in both of their lives. But rather than focusing specifically on those miracles this morning, we're going to look at the encouragement they were to each other. And the title for this morning's lesson is, It Takes Two to Get Along. It takes two people to be able to succeed in life. On a heavenly level, it takes us and God, you working with God, God working with you. But on an earthly level, we need the encouragement of other people. We need fellow believers to come along beside us and be an encouragement. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And so the challenge for us this morning is to be an encouragement to those people who are down, the people who need our encouragement. And so, as I said earlier, Mary in our text has just been given the message from an angel that she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And this is thrilling news. This is overwhelming news. She doesn't know quite what to do with this. But yet, at the same time, she's been given the news that her cousin Elizabeth is also going to give birth. That was also a shock to her. That was also some news that just took her back. Her cousin, we don't know exactly how old she was, but she's up in years past childbearing age. But yet, God gave her the sign, gave Mary a double confirmation that the virgin birth was true, and also through this, he encouraged Elizabeth. And so he says, you're going to have a son, it's going to be the Messiah, and to prove this is true, your cousin Elizabeth is also going to have a son. And so she gets this news, Mary gets this news, and she's amazed that God's been working in their lives both at the very same time. Elizabeth's already been pregnant now 6 months, and so Mary decides, okay, I'm going to go visit her. Now, the angel didn't command her to visit her. He didn't tell her, go visit your cousin Elizabeth. She needs your encouragement. She needs your help during this time. He just gave her the news. But she decides, you know, she's going to need it right now. She's already 6 months pregnant. She needs some help. And so Mary, when she could have been gloating and all excited that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, instead she immediately goes to be an encouragement to someone else. Instead of just focusing on herself, she immediately thinks of Elizabeth. She says, you know, she needs help right now. This has got to be a hard time for her. And then once she went there, obviously she found out Zacharias wasn't able to talk. So that was a whole nother level of difficulty. She needed someone just to be able to talk to. And so Mary decides, I'm going to visit Elizabeth. I'm going to go and visit her. And so it doesn't say the village that they live in, but it says that they lived in the hill country of Judah. Now, this was a very rough area of country. We don't know how long it was from Mary's house, but no doubt it was a good journey. And families didn't get to see each other very often. Often the only times they would get to spend time together was at Passover, when all the families went up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord together. And so Mary decides, I'm going to go for a surprise visit. I'm going to go surprise Elizabeth and tell her the news. Because Elizabeth doesn't know that Mary's giving birth to the Messiah. Mary knows that Elizabeth is giving birth, but Elizabeth, all she knows is that she's expecting. And so Mary goes to tell her the news, but also to be an encouragement to her. And so that's what she does. She packs her things, she makes the rough journey through the hills, and as was the custom, she goes right into the house and greets Elizabeth. She greets her and says, Hi, how are you doing? I've got some exciting news to tell you. But as soon as she says that, Elizabeth kind of cuts her off and doesn't really let her get to finish. And it says there in verse 41, It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on and explains what Elizabeth said. And so when Mary gives her greeting, Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Ghost, and she begins to tell Mary the news that Mary was going to tell her. She says, Blessed are you, you're highly favored, just like the angel had told her. Said, Blessed art thou among women. That's exactly what the angel had told her. That's, again, a double confirmation that the message was true. So the Lord just reaffirming in her mind that this was the truth. And so Elizabeth says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." That's exactly what the angel had said. And so now Mary has some reassurance and says, "You know what? I know this is true for a fact." And obviously, when she sees Elizabeth, she knows that she's pregnant. I mean, when you're 6 months pregnant, it's pretty obvious. And so then she sees that confirmation, and she knows that's the truth. God's word is true. I am going to give birth to the Messiah. But Elizabeth, she doesn't give her a chance to really say any of this. She just begins to praise God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for sending our Messiah." And she begins to thank Mary and to bless Mary. She says, "Blessed art thou among women." Israelite women for hundreds of years had longed to be the mother of the Messiah. And now Mary had been chosen. She'd been selected to do this job. And it would be a job. It certainly would be. But it was certainly an honor for Mary. And Mary, it's funny, she went to encourage Elizabeth. But yet before she can even encourage her, Elizabeth's already being a blessing to her. And that's how God often so many times works in our lives. We go and sometimes we don't feel like being an encouragement to someone. But yet the Lord works in our hearts, works in their hearts, and we go leaving wondering why we didn't want to go. I think of visiting shut-ins and people in the hospital connected with the church. You know, so many times you're discouraged. You're thinking, "I don't know how I can be an encouragement to them. I'm discouraged myself." But yet you go and you give of yourself. You share God's word with them. And then you end up leaving and you're encouraged. You're encouraged in your heart. That's what God does for us so many times when we're unselfish. And Mary, she had gone to be a blessing to Elizabeth, but she's already gotten a blessing herself. And Elizabeth is being a good friend to her. Isaiah 35, 3 through 4 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." And that's what Mary did for Elizabeth. She strengthened her weak hand. She's an older woman, but Mary's here that strength for her. And then she's able to give her the news that this prophetic passage is speaking of, that he that was coming to save you is coming. He's here. And Mary was expecting the Messiah. So in this, she's really a fulfillment of these verses in Isaiah 35. And Elizabeth, she recognized how honored she was that the mother of the Messiah would visit her. And she's just overwhelmed by this. It says in verse 43, it says, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" But Mary doesn't act like this at all. She doesn't act like she's the privileged one who's been chosen for this. Because it was because of her humility and faith that God had chosen her in the first place. And God wouldn't have chosen to be born to someone who would become proud or would have been self-esteemed by having the Messiah. He came to someone who was humble and someone who had faith in God that he would do what he said. And that's who Mary was. She was a humble servant, and we'll see that later. But Elizabeth, she's thankful that Mary took the time to visit her. And she just keeps going on and on, blessing her and encouraging her in the Lord. Now, they say women talk more than men. I'm not sure about that. It probably depends on the person. But Elizabeth certainly has said a lot right here. But it's all good. And it's not about herself. She's saying all this to encourage Mary. She's being such an encouragement, and Mary needed this. Perhaps Elizabeth was the only one who would actually fully understand her situation. Certainly back in Israel, where she was from, the people thought she had been physically immoral. They didn't believe her story. Even Joseph, her soon-to-be husband, didn't believe it for a while. But yet Elizabeth believes it, and she needed this encouragement from her. And Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you for your faith." She realized that it took a lot of faith to trust God in this. And Elizabeth is being this encouragement to Mary. And she even gives Mary this confirmation. She said, "When I heard your greeting, the babe inside me leaped." This is just another confirmation that what God said was true. And this is really the first meeting between Jesus and John the Baptist. It's kind of interesting to think about that. It was a reuniting of relatives, but yet this was the first time Jesus and John the Baptist would meet. And they were both vital people to the New Testament. Obviously Jesus, because he's our Savior. But John the Baptist would prepare the way and make the way for Jesus. And he would point others to Jesus in advance before Jesus even started his ministry. And so these two mothers have an important role, and their children would be very important people. And so they've been an encouragement to one another. Elizabeth now, she's finished her blessing. She's given her blessing to Mary. And Mary here, she begins to praise God, and she begins to thank God. And in this, she's an encouragement to Elizabeth. And she begins by exalting God and rejoicing in her Savior. You know, it's amazing looking at this. Mary was still very young, but yet you see just how much of a knowledge of the Scripture she had. It's really incredible. Even her words, the way she speaks, is references Hebrew poetry. I mean, she's in God's Word so much that she even talks like the Bible. Like one of us, we read God's Word in a way so much that we talk in these and thous. We're in God's Word so much. That's the way Mary was. She was in God's Word so much she understood it. She even spoke like God's Word. You know, I don't think that'd be a problem for us if we were that invested in God's Word, if His Word filled us so much that we spoke like God's Word. Now Mary, she begins to do that in verses 46 through 47. They're parallel verses. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Soul and spirit, that refers to our innermost being. And practically, Mary is saying, in every single way, all that I am, I'm praising God. I'm magnifying Him because He's my Savior. He's my God and my Savior. And in saying this, Mary was admitting that she needed a Savior. She had been chosen for a special job, but she was a sinner and needed a Savior just like anyone else. And many people today like to elevate Mary to the position of worship. Now, she was to be honored, certainly so. She said, "All generations from this point will call me blessed." She was to be honored, and she is to be honored. But yet, she was a sinner just like any of us, because she was still just a human. And she would have never accepted worship. And Mary here admits that, sure, I've been chosen for a special task, but this son that I'm carrying, I need his salvation, because apart from him, I'm just as lost as anyone else. I have no special privileges just because I'm the mother of the Messiah. And so she admits that she needs a Savior. And then in verses 48 and the first half of 49, Mary praises God for his grace, for his kindness. She could rejoice because of the grace God had bestowed on her and choosing her of all people to be the mother of the Messiah. And that is so often true. God chooses the most unlikely people to do his tasks, because like Mary, they're not going to glory in themselves. And I hope we'll be people like that. You know, you don't have to be talented. You don't have to do incredible things for God to use you. You just have to be humble and faithful and willing to do what God's called you to do. And willingness is a quality that, well, it's really absent these days. But yet God can use you if you're only willing. And Mary thanked God for his grace in calling her and using her of all people. She said, "Though I am of low estate," she was just a humble person, just like any of us, "God had lifted her up, and so that all people of all generations would call her blessed." And she realized that this was only possible through God's grace. And then in the second half of verse 49, she says, "And holy is his name." She praises God for his holiness. God is a holy God. And she was affirming in this that God is perfect in both his character and his actions. Name refers to character and reputation. God is perfect in his actions and his reputation, and they're inseparable. And she realized that she was not just saying this to God. She was saying this about her son, because Jesus and God are one and the same. And she was praising the child that was to be born, not just God in heaven. All this is pointed to God. And then in verse 50, she praises God for his mercy. She says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And we would see here the greatest expression of God's mercy in coming to this world and God sending his only begotten Son to die for us, to live for us. It's incredible. God's mercy is just overwhelming. And Mary, even though she doesn't have a full picture of everything that would happen, yet even here she's overwhelmed by God's mercy. And he not only showed mercy to her, he showed mercy to the nation of Israel. And through them, he showed mercy to us as well. And then in verse 51, she says, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Now that was partly fulfilled. Throughout the Old Testament, God worked for his people. He worked on their behalf. But yet that's prophetic too. God would cast down the proud. Jesus would. The Pharisees who would try to trip him up in his words, their proud hearts, he would cast them down. They were never able to trip him up. And then eventually one day when Jesus Christ returns, all those who fought against him and been proud and tried to turn away from him, tried to turn other people away from him, well, they'll be cast down. They'll have to fall on their knees before Jesus Christ and admit that he is right and they were wrong. This is a praise for God's justice as well. In verse 52, it continues and says, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." Because of God's power, he is just. Only a powerful God can execute justice. And Mary realizes that only in Jesus Christ will justice be done. Because you see, on this earth, so many times justice isn't done. Right is punished and wrong is exalted, even in our nation. Jesus Christ, his justice, it seems to be just completely thrown away. But yet, Jesus Christ will execute justice in the end. And one day the rich won't be able to buy their way out of problems, and they won't be able to avoid justice because they'll stand before God. Those of low degree will be exalted. The Bible says the first will be last and the last will be first in that day. And those who are rich will be brought low. Now that's not a condemnation on the rich. That's not necessarily a blessing on the poor. But it just states the fact that Jesus Christ is able to reverse the situation of any single person because he is just and he is righteous. And then finally, Mary praised God for his faithfulness to Israel and to herself as included in the nation. It says in verse 54, "He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." God had promised this Messiah centuries earlier. He had promised it to Abraham. He'd promised it to Isaac. He promised it to Jacob. But yet, he hadn't come yet. And yet now, Jesus Christ was going to be born in fulfillment of that. It speaks of this promise in Genesis 12 and Genesis 26. He said that Israel would be a great nation, a nation blessed by God. And through that nation, every other nation would be blessed. God had made Israel a nation. He had blessed them. But now with the Messiah, with Jesus being born, every other nation of the world would be blessed through the birth of Jesus Christ and through the death on the cross. All this is just filled with truth about our Savior. And it's so encouraging. And certainly it was an encouragement to Elizabeth, but it was an encouragement to Mary as she dwelt on these things and thought about them and just how good and how gracious God had been to her. I can imagine that Mary and Elizabeth probably talked about these things over and over and over. They stayed 3 months together, and certainly, I mean, if their conversation just in this little passage was that centered on the Lord, we can only imagine what kind of spiritual encouragement they were to each other throughout the months. At the time of Mary's visit, Elizabeth, as I said, was about 6 months pregnant, and so she left about 3 months later. And so most likely she stayed until Elizabeth gave birth. We don't know that for sure. It says in verse 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son." It says that after Mary returned, but it could be that the Bible is just backing up to pick up some information. Most likely Mary stayed until she gave birth. I mean, you don't wait 9 months and then leave right before she gave birth. That wouldn't be very good. But anyhow, so Mary leaves after 3 months, after they've been an encouragement to one another. And now I think Mary was ready to face a lot easier the ridicule and the criticism that she was going to receive. The people in her town wouldn't have believed her, didn't believe her. She was one of the few who realized that her son, Jesus Christ, was actually the Messiah. People throughout his life would doubt him. They would doubt her. They accused Jesus of being an illegitimate son. But yet Mary, through her encouragement of Elizabeth and through Elizabeth's encouragement for her, I think she was prepared to face this. And they were good friends. They were good encouragements to one another. And we need good friends like that. We really do. God's given us fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be an encouragement to one another, because it is so hard to stand alone. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We need godly friends. We need friends who are going to help us in those struggles and those times of adversity, like Elizabeth and Mary. We need friends like that. Now, not just friends who are going to inflate our ego and make us feel good about ourselves, but friends who are going to turn us to Scripture, friends who are going to turn us to the Lord in times of struggle, because He's the one who's our ultimate help. And that's what Elizabeth did for Mary. That's what Mary did for Elizabeth. And so I hope you have good friends like that. But I hope you're being a friend like that, because there's so many people today struggling. I had an article in the mail the other day about it was incredible. It's from a Christian organization, but just the numbers of people who live with anxiety and depression and all these PTSD, all these things that just weigh on them with no one to reach out to them. And the emphasis of that article was on the gospel and how Jesus Christ can bring hope, and He does, and He did in this story. Jesus Christ offers that hope, but are you being a friend to fellow believers? Are you being a faithful friend to witness to others? Mary and Elizabeth were good friends, and because Mary had taken the time to reach out to Elizabeth, she was encouraged herself. Being a good friend does require sacrifice. It does require time. For Mary, it required staying 3 months with Elizabeth until she gave birth to her son. That's a long time. That's a long time to sacrifice, especially when you're an expectant mother and you think, well, I should be getting the house ready. I should be getting all these things ready for the birth of the Messiah. Instead, she spends 3 months with Elizabeth. She makes a hard journey just to be with her and just to be an encouragement. That's a good friend. That's a faithful friend. But then I think of Jesus, about 30 years after this, when Jesus would die for us. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, God doesn't call all of us to lay down our lives physically, but we are to lay down our lives in service for Him. We're to spend our lives serving the Lord. And we're to be an encouragement to fellow believers, because through that encouragement, we can continue. Through that encouragement, we can continue to be faithful to God, and we can help others to stay faithful. None of us, you've heard it before, none of us are an island. No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself, as the Scripture says. We all influence other people. And so I hope you're being a positive influence. And this time of the season, this time of year, it seems like everything has just become so self-centered. I mean, you hear Christmas songs, they're all about me, all about what I can do, all about what I can get. But Christmas really should be the most unselfish time of the year. That's when God sent His Son. That's when Jesus Christ came to die for us. And throughout this entire Christmas story, it's a story of unselfishness. Even this, before Jesus Christ was born, it's a story of unselfishness, of someone giving their time, sacrificing for another person. And that's what we should be. We should be an encouragement. It does take two to get along. It takes two to be able to keep on going for the Lord. And so I hope you're being that person, and I hope you have friends that are helping you continue for the Lord. And so be that encouragement. Just as Mary did for Elizabeth, and just as Jesus did for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You for this challenge to be an encouragement. Lord, it's so easy to become self-centered and think about ourselves, Lord, that we completely would block out thoughts of You or block out thoughts of other people. Lord, but I thank You for this example from the life of Mary and Elizabeth. Lord, how they Lord, praised you and exalted you in a very trying time. Lord, a good time, but a time that would bring a lot of new struggles for both of them. Lord, thank you how they relied on you and relied on each other. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to be able to rely on one another, and Lord, to be able to be relied on. Lord, help us to be faithful to your house. Help us to be faithful to coming to your house so that others, Lord, are persuaded and convinced to come along with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to our fellow believers. Lord, that when we're together, we would only be encouraging. Lord, only help others to turn to you and to worship you more. Lord, help us not to be complainers. Lord, certainly they had something to complain about. They had a lot of struggles. They would have more. Lord, but all their conversation was focused on you. I pray that you would help us to be like that. I pray that you would bless now in the service to follow, work in the music, Lord, in the preaching, all that goes on. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.